We're going to be reading from 1 Peter this morning, so you can follow along in your bulletins or on the screens above. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment.
Thank you, Jennifer. So we're trying to make headway in the new year. I think most people around here and around as I make my way are interested in moving ahead in their life in a very positive way. Peter's got some great insight and some very good practical application details for us. And so we're going to look at that today. We're peering further into the book of 1 Peter. To set us up, I just want us to know or remind us that we live in a world where there is a battle taking place between good and evil. I've lived my whole adult life with the battle of good and evil being depicted in a movie franchise. It's Star Wars. And it doesn't matter how they change it and who the characters are, the bottom line story is exactly the same. The bad guys are trying to get ahead of the good guys, but the good guys, at least in the last 10 minutes of the movie, finally defeat the bad guys. Well, that's the world we live in. We live in a world where the goodness of God and evil are doing battle. And we should feel at times that we're a little battle weary. We're pushing, we're shoving, we're trying to make our way forward, and it seems like, wow, there's some pressure there. There's resistance in our world as we try to move forward and do good. Now, from the beginning to the end of the Bible, it's very clear who wins. God wins, which means we win. We win. We are challenged to live life as those that are victors, not those that are defeated. Yet it's interesting that, well, we see that pushing and shoving match, that tension between good and evil. We see it in our world. 1 John 5:19. We belong to God, but the evil one controls the world. And if it's a teenage girl, she rules the world and the house. Right? Now, we know that. We should not be surprised that as we make our way to do good, that there's pushback. That we find ourselves literally, you know, battling with difficult things, evil things. The selfishness that has a tendency to rule, it's generally not good, is it? And so we're in this pushing match in as we make our way into the world. We want to do good and we want to be good. Yet we're doing that in a world at times, well, it just does not seem to be receptive. In fact, it seems to be battling against these good things happening. Now, that is true on the world stage, but it's also true on the stage of our world. Isn't it true? I know I feel that battle as I'm making my way that, well, I've got to choose how I'm going to live my life. And when I get to those choices, especially choices that might benefit me, I've noticed that I carry on a little conversation with myself. Over here is a little, you know, my floating head with a little halo over it. And then over here I have my floating head and it's got some devil horns on it. And I know better, right? I'm a pastor, but hey, guess what? There are moments where I can hear this battle going on. Why am I going to do this? No, do this. Oh, this is so much more fun. It's just so much more ego-centered. You can self-actualize yourself so much better over here if you're just stingier. If you're just harder on people. If you just say the first thing that comes to your mind. And over here, there's the halo. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I don't think that will be very good for you, and it for sure will not be good for them. Every once in a while when I listen to this floating head of myself with the halo on it, I hear my mother. Right? Right, I'm an adult male, and I still hear my mother saying, you know, I'll send you to the rim if you do that. You just wait till your father gets home. She told me to not climb this tree when I was a little kid. I was like 4 or 5, and, you know, her parting comment to me as she went into the house is, if you fall out of that tree, don't come crying to me. Well, you know what happened? I fell out of the tree and I broke my collarbone. So I had to pick my little self up and go to the front door, kick the front door. Mom! And she came to the front door and she said, what did I tell you? And of course, then she was very caring. Isn't it interesting, all the positive influences in our life are represented in the floating head with the halo on it. And isn't it interesting that, well, the people who weren't really all that good, their voices are heard in the floating head with the horns sticking out the side. Well, I can hear many of my middle school friends over here. We know that that battle exists out there, and it exists within our own hearts, minds, and souls. Paul says, live not according to your sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. According to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's inspiration and guidance in your life. Now, Peter goes right after that. Look at verse 14. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. Oh, that sounded like what we were just talking about. Most of the evil around us is to satisfy our own desires. We are very ego-centered people, aren't we? We are. And we want to do what's best for us, not necessarily what's good for me long-term. Or good for everyone else. Little feedback. You didn't know any better then, But now you must be holy in everything you do. Peter says what you need to do is choose holiness. If you want to make headway in this world, the best way to make headway in this world is to choose what is good, choose what is holy. And I believe as we choose what is holy, as we choose God over our own ego-centered desires, as we allow Jesus to lead our life, instead of how we're feeling in some bad moment, we're choosing the very best way in life. The highest standard to live by, not the lowest standard to live by. It's our choice. It's your choice. The great thing about Jesus has come and loved us first. He's called to us. He's chosen us so that we can respond to him. How do we know we've responded to him? Well, we know that because we're going to choose the new life that Christ has for us. Look at verse 15. But now you must be holy and I underline this, everything. Oh, no. In everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. Now, we can get frustrated with that or we can embrace it. Everybody has some places in their life that they would like to change for the better. Anybody here not have a few things floating around in their mind, heart, and soul that they want to change for the better? All of us do. Peter says, not only in a few things, but in everything. Oh, no, not everything. Why should I try? I will never be holy in everything. Well, actually, you will one day, right? You have redemption, and then as you step into that redemption, now you have sanctification. Now you're getting a little better all the time. Yeah, you're getting a little bit better. Yes, you're doing better. And then at some point, you will die. You will go to heaven. That's called glorification. And when you die, in a twinkling of the eye, you go from not perfect to perfect. From inconsistency to consistent love for God. Consistent love for others, and a very freeing, not ego-centered love for yourself. See, that's the new life that God has in store for us. Paul put it this way in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 17, 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is passed away. Man, let it pass away. I think most people are like me. I talked about this the other week. Take your old self and hurl it a long ways away from you. You're like me. I don't want to hurl it away. I just want to put it off right here. Because when I'm having a bad day, you know, I'm in one of those moods. Let's see. Let's just try this old self back on. Just, hey, I'm only going to do it for two drinks, I promise. Right? We want to put that old self on, and it helps if you get it all the way away from you, then you're going to have less of a tendency to want to put on that old nature. So you put it off, and then you put on the new nature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And notice what the tense of the verb is. Paul says, it's not coming, it's come already. It's yours. You've got a new self to put on. And you put it on, and we talked about that a few weeks ago. It is on, and then you're growing into it each and every day. But you have to choose it. You have to choose whether you're going to keep living your old nature, you want to choose, a better trade up. And maybe your life is going really well. That doesn't mean you can't trade up to even a better life. Because what God calls us to is good by definition. So we got to put off the old self, and that does take some work, ongoing work. That works best because you already have a new self that you're moving yourself into, a new way of living. I think we have to choose to be or get prepared as we make our way into our new life. Peter says, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Oh, are those two good elements of putting off your old nature and putting on your new nature? It sure is. It sure is. So think clearly. Ooh. Well, think clearly. Another way to put that is to think with a godly perspective, a holy perspective. Uh-oh. You mean my ideology may inform my attitude and my behavior? That is exactly what Peter is saying. If we think more holy, clearly, biblically, it's amazing how that informs our life. It helps us move into and put on that new nature that God has in store for us. So we have to think clearly, but here's the hard part. And we have to exercise. Oh, no, I don't even like the word exercise. And then I think the most difficult thing for us to do is to exercise self-control. Self-control. This is the great thing about changing your whole world. You want to change your whole world, change yourself. And one of the best ways to change ourselves is to show a little self-control, little management of our time, our talent, our touch, our treasure, a little self-control. Now, I think it's easier to be self-controlled when our focus is not on ourselves, but is more heavenly informed. As we look to God, God directs us in the best way. And he wants to direct us. The problem is we're stubborn and we don't want to go. I want to do what I want to do. Where has that gotten you? When we just do all that we want to do, where does that really get us in life? It gives us some comfort, at least for a few moments in life, but that's really old self, ego-centered thinking. We got to think better. We have to think more heavenly. And to just think it is not enough. It's got to make its way into our behavior. But it does. It starts in the mind, and it moves to the heart, and then it moves to our feet and our hands. Now, how do we get prepared to be more self-controlled? Four simple things. Everybody can do this. Number one, seek God and ask him to illuminate your thinking. I've told you I'm a cognitive counselor by education. And so I do believe that how we think will often determine the way that we feel and act. And we talked about that last week. What we focus on in our minds produces a certain emotion, and that emotion produces a certain behavior in us. And so we have to seek God and say, look, help me think more in a godly way instead of just in an earthly way. Let me think about you first Let me think about others second, and let me think of myself third on the list. Okay. That will bring joy to your life. Jesus, other, and you. It's the right order. It's the two great commandments. Number two, I think you need to study your Bible so it can be your guide. God wants to guide us each and every day, and there's a lot of very good tips on how to be holy, how to live in your new self in the Bible. What's going to happen when you read the Bible and apply it to your life is you're going to move into your new self, your new nature, and guess what? That means you will not be so ego-driven in how you live your life. You're going to be headed for the good, and you're going to head away from the bad. Why? Because that's what's in here. Everything we need for faith and practice is right here. How we worship God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and how we make our way loving our neighbor as ourselves. It's in here. But we have to get it from the pages of the scripture to our minds and then down to our heart and then into our hands and our feet. The third thing we need to do, and this will take a little bit more effort, is we need to learn how to be critical thinkers. I don't mean that you're to go around criticizing everyone. That's not the same thing. We need to be critical thinkers. What do we believe? And how are we going to live that out in grace in the world that we live in? And I can tell you, it takes some thinking in this day and age. We have truth on one hand, but we also have grace on the other hand. And how do we take that truth, embody it, and then live it out gracefully in the world? It doesn't take a lot to start taking truth and throwing fastballs at everybody you run into. There's no art to that. There's an art to knowing the truth and then graciously offering it to someone else throughout the day, throughout your life. The fourth thing is prayer. It's good to have a place and a time to pray. It's good to have a prayer list. Mine's on my phone now. I love it. It goes with me. I've got my Bible, and I have my prayer list all on the same device. And what I want to encourage you is it's good to have that. It's good to do that in the morning. And then as you make your way throughout the day, keep carrying on that conversation with God. And you'll know you're carrying on that conversation with God because at some point in the day, God's going to say something to you and you're going to respond just the way I did one day. I went, "Are you serious? You want me to do what?" Now, if that doesn't happen every once in a while, it might be that you're not listening very well. You might be talking a lot to God and He's a great listening ear, by the way. But it is a conversation with God, so you got to talk and you have to listen. Sometimes that means you have to be motionless. Very intentional about being quiet before the Lord. And some of you live in quiet very well. The rest of us, it gets a little weird for us after too long. But we can get focused, have the conversation throughout the day. You know that is preparing you to move forward as holy as you can be in that day. That is your best bet. Your best bet is to pray to God, "Lord, let me think from a kingdom perspective today, from a heavenly perspective. From a loving perspective, And oh, yeah, the Bible says that I should do this. So I'm gonna strive to do this today in a very practical way. And as I do that, that's going to raise a few questions for me. Hey, why do I really think that? That's what I love about small groups. It gives you a chance to figure out what you really believe and why you believe it and how to live it out. And as you go, the Holy Spirit is with you. And if you carry on a conversation with God, I guarantee you, He's going to say a few things to you just to let you know that He's listening and He's responding to you. Now, why should we get ready, be ready, putting off the old nature, putting on the new nature? It's this meal. It's verses 18 and 19. When it comes to your relationship with Jesus, you're not a cheap date. You won't find salvation in the bargain section. Jesus gave His life so that we could have life. He's already made a tremendous investment in your new nature. And without His sacrifice, we wouldn't have a chance. Not a real chance. Not an eternal chance. We should be ready. We should get ready because Jesus paid a big price for us to be a part of His family. Now, how do you know that you're putting on your new self? I'm going to go a little bit quicker. There's three signs. Sign number one is that you're going to start having a loving attitude towards other people. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Now, if you grew up in my family, that's not the family we're talking about. Because the conversation between brothers and sisters in my house, I'm sure daily we took the name of God in vain. And those were the nice things we might have said in our moments of anger. And the brothers, we were always in the bedroom punching each other out, right? So treat them like healthy brothers and sisters. Please don't treat me like I'm from your family. God's forever family, yes. Bring your very best. Love people as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all of your heart. Now, there's three kinds of love in the Bible. Eros love, that's physical love. Philos love, which is brotherly love, and then agape love, which is divine love. Now, this love here is the philos, brotherly, sisterly love. But if you're going to love others as your brothers and sisters, you're going to need agape love to do it. You're going to need God's divine love to do it. Why? Because our human love is just not enough. No matter how self-actualized you are, you're still going to need a divine source to really love them? You got to be kidding me. I'm related to her? Yeah. They're part of the forever family. I always like to say that we're all peculiar treasures. Everybody's peculiar, but they're also a treasure. The problem in loving relationships is you have to get through the peculiar before you get to the treasure. So be on a treasure hunt with some people. Make your way through the peculiar. They are a treasure. There is a treasure there. And if you can't see it, it's because you're not very good at looking. When we look with a heavenly perspective, it's amazing how we look at people. Them? Him? Yeah. agape love, God's divine love infused in us through the Holy Spirit, we can love everybody. Strive to love everybody. And that will take some effort. And at times, it's going to take some concentration, and it's going to take a little divine intervention, and maybe even some conflict resolution skills. We are a family, the Bible says. And we are to love one another as healthy brothers and sisters. Number two, it's what comes out of your mouth. I'm a big fan. Taste the words you're about to say and see if they are sweet, because you may be eating them later. Right? We need to taste the words that are coming out of our mouth, and are they sweet? Here are the bitter ones. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, all hypocrisy. I'm working on that one. Jealousy. Were you jealous of anyone last week? Jealous of anybody today? Yeah. Got to work on that. And all kinds of unkind speech. Peter says, get rid of all of it. If you don't put it away, then you're going to give it away to someone else. Put it away so you don't give it away. Taste those words and see if they're sweet. And I'm not saying you can't have a hard conversation with someone, but there is a loving way to do that. I'm not talking about being mamby-pamby all the time. I'm not talking about not being assertive. At times we need to be assertive in certain circumstances and in certain conversations, but we're assertive in a gracious way. A gracious way. Sign one is, are you striving to love other people? Number two, are you putting away your crass and unhealthy, unrespectful conversation, words, descriptions of other people, and loving them graciously through your words? And then finally, it's what your desire is. What is your desire? Peter brings this up big time. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk, so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this. What are you crying out for? What are you crying out for in your life? I think most of the time it's not spiritual maturity. In fact, when it comes to spiritual maturity, I think we try to keep that at arm's length. We are on the grow. All of us, we're on the grow. Some of us are reluctantly growing. Some of us are walking into that. My question is are you really jogging, running? Here's the thing. The more movement you have in a good direction, the farther away the bad goes. The more earnest we are in moving forward, the further away from our old self we are. And often it is our desire that determines the rate of our spiritual maturity, which often directs the degree to which we will mature. Do you desire it? The more you desire it, the more you'll actualize it. Again, one of the things about Jesus and being in relationship with him is he understands our reluctance at times. He understands our own sinful nature. Jesus hopes for the very best for you. The very best. I have not had many people come into my office or carry on a conversation with me that says, following Jesus has been an awful thing in my life. I wish I never did that. How many people over the years have been in my office and basically what they've said is I am not embracing my new self as well as I would like to. I don't feel good because I keep having problems with this old self behavior or attitude. Most everybody I run around with and rub shoulders with, everybody's trying to make some positive headway. Enjoy life, enjoy relationships, enjoy God. That is only an opportunity for us because of what Jesus did for us. Through the Holy Spirit, we can put off our old nature and put on our new nature. That night with the disciples, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." He took the cup and he poured it out. And as he held it up, he looked at the disciples and he said, "This is my blood that I willingly shed for you." Here's the great thing. Jesus doesn't love us out of compulsion. He loves us out of choice. He chooses to love us. Really, the same is true for us. We have to choose to respond to God's love. We have to choose to embrace and live according to his guidance and his power. It's a choice to put off the old nature. It's a great pleasure to put on the new nature. All of that cost Jesus his very life. He doesn't make us pay, he paid. He gave his life so that we can have life. As you come to communion today, I would encourage you to think about where you are in being prepared and getting prepared. You know, today, what's the reality of you really putting off your old nature and putting on your new nature? It's your choice. It's your choice. Now, I know what God chooses for you, but you have to choose it for yourself. And I live in the same world you do. It's a battle, and some days, I feel a little defeated. Yet we are victors. We know the end of the story. And we win in Jesus Christ. We win now. We win for all eternity. After you have a chance to pray, I'd ask you to come forward. There'll be servers on either side. Come to them and receive the elements. You can take them there if you would like to do that, or you can cycle back to the back and then make your way back to your seat and consume them there. It's gluten-free bread, so we're all good. It's grape juice. It's not wine. So I think we're good all the way around in terms of those things. If you're unable to come forward or just prefer not to do that, if you raise your hand, one of the deacons will bring the elements to you. Let's continue to worship God.